Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Kama Daf Tzadi. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the Shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur begins at the Mishnah that you'll find 7 lines from the bottom of Daf Tzadi. The Mishnah, HaTokea L'Chaveroi, Noisein Loi Sela. Tokea, a form of injury. What it is exactly is actually a discussion, a point of disagreement in the commentaries. One approach is that a person was struck on his ear. Another approach, is someone trumpeted in his ear, didn't actually impact it, but took, like you are familiar with, a shofar, and you have tkios of shofar, tokea, the same verb form, tokea. He blasted in someone's ear. The payment referred to in the Mishnah, the payment of a sela, type of coin, is for embarrassment. That is what Rashi points out. It's a payment for embarrassment. It's, we'll say, the rate that one pays for causing embarrassment through this act of deafening. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Mishum Rabbi Yossi Aglili, mona. He has a different amount, a much larger amount, a mona. Sotroi, we continue with different forms of, attack, impact, injury-causing, where the payments are for the resultant embarrassment. Sotro, no sein lo, mosayim zuz. A person slapped someone on his face, so the payment is 200 zuz. La'achar yodo. If it was a backhanded slap on his face, which is more degrading, no sein lo arba meos zuz. Tzoram beozno. Here we have a list of different offenses. Tzoram beozno, Rashi says moshach, which means someone pulled on someone's ear. There's another explanation causing a pagame, a notch cutting out a part of someone's ear. Tolash besairo, tearing out someone's hair. Rokak v'yia bo roko, spitting on someone and the spittle reaches the victim. He'evir talisoi mimenu, stripping off someone's talis garment. Para roisho isha bashuk, uncovering, exposing a woman's hair in the public. Shuk is literally the marketplace. For all of these different kinds of offenses, which result in embarrassment, noisein lo arba mea zuz, the 400 zuz is the rate to be paid. Now we've underlined arba mea zuz. This underlining will be significant for a point discussed later in the Gemara. We continue at the top of Omid Beis. Ze haklal, the following is the rule. Hako lefi kvoidoi. The rate of payment is in accordance with the level of honor that is accorded to the victim. Omer Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, in terms of evaluating how much is to be paid, he says, Afilu aniyim shebi Israel, even the poor amongst Israel, Royun oison, we view them, ki'ilu heim b'nei chorin, shiyardu menichseim, as free people, who have lost their property, Shehem b'nei Avram Yusuf Yankiv, for they are the descendants of our patriarchs. The Gemara will deal with the question, Rabbi Akiva versus the Tanakama. The Tanakama used the expression, Hakol lefi kvodoi. Is the Tanakama, relative to Rabbi Akiva, trying to be more stringent in increasing the amount of money that's to be paid? Or, to the contrary, is being more lenient, requiring less money to be paid. the Gemara continues, Umaisa be'echot shepora roisho isho bashuk. It was an incident where someone exposed the covered hair of a woman in public. Bos lefnei Rabbi Akiva. The case came to Rabbi Akiva. V'chayvoy litein lo arba me'azuz. And Rabbi Akiva ruled, obligated the offender to pay 400 zuz. Notice again, we've underlined this arba me'azuz. This is now Rabbi Akiva presenting the point. Omar lo, the offender said, Rabbi, ten li zman. He said, give me a while. I want to make a point. I want to prove something. V'nosan lo zman. And Rabbi Akiva conceded. Shomro oimedes al pesach atzera. The offender waited. Shomro means he waited until she was standing at the entrance to her courtyard. V'shovar es hakad befoneha. And he smashed a container in front of her. Ubo ki isur shemen. And in that container, there was an isur, is a coin. It's a value amount of shemen, a certain amount of shemen, of oil. And the woman saw this spilling of oil. Gilso es roisha vehoisa metapachas umanachas yoda al rosha. She had some type of cloth head covering. She wanted to salvage the oil, so she took off she revealed her own hair there at the entrance to her courtyard and used the cloth to absorb the oil, and she placed her hand on her head. So you see that the woman willingly exposed her own hair. Hamid olel edim, the offender, the one who set up this whole matter, he had set up witnesses to see this whole episode. Ubo lefnei Rabbi Akiva, and he came to Rabbi Akiva, Amalei Rabbi Lezu, ani noisein dalad me'azuz, to a woman like this, who willingly exposes her own hair. I have to pay 400 zuz for having done that to her. She's willing to cause her own embarrassment. Why should I have to pay for having done the same thing? Omar Lei, Rabbi Akiva responds, Lo Omar Toklum, you have said nothing. In other words, you haven't made any point. Hachevel Batzmo, Afopi She'eno Rashoi, Potter. We have a rule that one who inflicts self-inflicted injury, even though one's not allowed to do so, if he does so, so he is potter, he's exempt. Achirim shechavlu bo chayovim, but others who would do that same kind of injury that the victim is willing to inflict on himself, others who do that are guilty. So that even though the woman had subjected herself to embarrassment, that doesn't give license or exemptions to those who do it to her. Vakitzis nitiyosav afal pi she'eno rashoi poter, one who cuts down his saplings is exempt, and even though one is not allowed to do that, it's an act of wastefulness, and we'll see more about that in the Gemara. Nevertheless, achirim chayovim, others who do that must compensate. They're obligated to offer restitution. The Mishnah made reference to different forms of different denominations of currency. In general, there are two types of currency that the Talmud makes reference to. One is called the Tsuri rate, and the other is called the Medina rate. For our purposes, the Tsuri rate is 8 times more than the Medina rate. So you can have a coin with the same name to it, but the value of the Tsuri version of that coin is 8 times greater than the value of the Medina coin bearing the same name. So that's now the subject at hand. The mona taught in our Mishnah, is it a mona in the Tsuri fashion or in the Medina fashion? Ibayalaho, mona tsuri tnan, mona medina tnan. When the Mishnah said that a mona is to be paid, is it a mona according to the Tsuri rate or according to the Medina rate? And we said the Medina rate is 1/8 of the Tsuri rate. Toshma. So let's come and conclude from the following. Dahu gavro de tokale le chavrei. There was an offender who did this act of toka, a blasted in someone's ear, or caused someone to lose his hearing through impact. Also the coming to Rabbi Yehuda Nesiya, the case came to the attention of Rabbi Yehuda, Omar Lei, and Rabbi Yehuda said, Ho ano, ho Rabbi Yosef Gligli, hav Lei mona tsuri. He says something that's not entirely clear at this point, but he says, there is me, and there is Rabbi Yosef Gligli, pay him a mona tsuri. Shmami no. Well, from here you see mona tsuri tnan. Shmami no, that the toka of the Mishnah requires the payment of mona tsuri. Now the Gemara wants to know what did Rabbi Yehuda Nesiya mean when he spoke in terms of there is myself and there is Rabbi Yosef Gligli. My ho ano. Ha Rabbi Yosef Gligli. The house marking that you see is featured on the side of the Gemara Derar Mivneh heading, structural note. The house represents Nisyonos Lahasbir Divrei Rabbi Yehuda Nesiya, where it attempts to explain what Rabbi Yehuda Nesiya meant when he said, Ha Ano Ha Rabbi Yosef Gligli. The Gemara. Ilema hochi ka'omale, if you suggest it means as follows. Ho ano de chazisach, there is I who saw you. I saw you commit the offense. For ho Rabbi Yosef Gligli d'omar mona tsuri, and then there's Rabbi Yosef Gligli who says that the payment is in the tsuri rate. Zil havle mona tsuri. So you have to go pay a mona tsuri. Based on what? Based on the fact that I saw you commit the offense, and the ruling of Rabbi Yosef in terms of how much is to be paid. So is that what ho ano and ho Rabbi Yosef Gligli means? The Gemara has a response to this and says if that's the meaning of ho ano and ho Rabbi Yosef Gligli, so then lemeimra, are you suggesting then that the aid na sedayon, that a witness can metamorphosize, we'll say, or turn into a judge? In the presentation we just made was that the Rabbi Yehuda Nesiya was saying, I saw you, that means I witnessed, and now I am ruling that you have to pay a mona tsuri. That would mean that the witness can become a judge. But v'ha tanya, we have the following source that will not be in agreement with that. Sanhedrin shiro echot shoharagas anefesh. The Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin is a court, we'll call the high court, who saw a person commit a murder. Mitzosanasu edim, mitzosanasu dayanim. Part of them can serve as the witnesses, and the other part serves as the judges. Divrei Rabbi Tarfon. That's Rabbi Tarfon's approach. Rabbi Akiva Imer, Kulam Edim, they're all witnesses. Kulam Edim Haim. They all were witnesses to the crime. V'yein Eid Na'asidayon. Someone who is a witness cannot in turn become a judge. Ad Kan, Lokom Rabbi Tarfon. Up till this point, Rabbi Tarfon says what he does. Elo de mitzosin asu edim umitzosin asu dayonim. Since a Sanhedrin is a high court which has numerous members, so some of them will serve as witnesses and the others will serve as judges. You don't see in this case he who served as a witness in turn serves as the judge. That you don't see by Rabbi Tarfon. Elo avol eid nasidayin lo komar. Even Rabbi Tarfon, who spoke in terms of the court that saw the murder, there are those that are going to serve as the witnesses, and the others will serve as the judges. But that a witness becomes a judge, that Rabbi Tarfon didn't say. And certainly Rabbi Kiva said explicitly that Ein Eid Nasa Dayan. Ki Tanyo Hahi, the Gemara responds, the Machlokis that we just saw between Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Kiva, with which we conclude that Ein Eid Nasa Dayan, Kagon Shiro Balayla, the crime was witnessed at night. That's a time at which judicial proceedings don't take place, cannot take place. That's in contrast to the Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya situation, where Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya saw the offense by day. That's a time when judgment, when court procedure does take place. Therefore, the issue of Eid Nasa Dayan, yes, Eid Nasa Dayan, but that's provided that the witnessing was at a time when judicial procedure can take place. The case involving Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Kiva was at night. V'boyesema, hochi ko'omar lei. Another approach is what was Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya saying to the offender? Ho ano de svirali kir Rabbi Yosi Aglili. There is myself who holds like Rabbi Yosi Aglili de Omar Monatsuri. Vaha sadi de mishadi boch. And in addition to our ruling that you pay in the tsuri fashion, there are also witnesses that testify against you that you did the act. Zil Havle, Monatsuri, go and pay him the Monatsuri. So that what Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, according to this version, was not speaking about himself as being a witness altogether. There are other separate witnesses that can testify that you committed the offense. The Gemara now asks a question. You'll notice we have a long question marking. V'savar Rabbi Akiva de'ein eid nasa dayan. Does Rabbi Kiva really hold that way, that one who served as a witness cannot in turn serve as the judge? Note that we have a long question here, V'ha Tanya, and we have a Tanaic source in which it will appear that Rabbi Kiva holds to the contrary, that Eid Nasa Dayan. It says here, "V'hiko ish esrehu be'even o be'egroif." The pasuk in Shmos Perek Chof Aleph, pasuk Yudches, describes someone attacking a victim with an even, a stone, or an egroif with his fist. We look at the pasuk in the Torah itself. It says, "V'chi yirivun anoshim," when two people are at odds or arguing with one another, "V'hiko ish esreyu be'even o be'egrof," and one strikes the other with a stone or his fist, "V'lo yomus v'nofal le'mishkov," and he doesn't die immediately; rather, he becomes bedridden. "Im yakum v'salech b'chutz al mishantoy v'niko amakeh." If the victim gets better and walks out, al-mishantu literally is he walks on his walking stick, the offender is then exonerated from a capital offense. The victim did not die, so there was no act of murder. Rak shivto yitain v'rapo yirape. Rather, unemployment and medical expenses must be paid. So we have a pasuk here that describes an attack with financial consequences. We continue in our Gemara. Shimon Timni Oimer, Mo Egroif Miuchad Shemosur Li'eda Uli'edim, just like a fist has this feature that the court, the Eda and the Edim and the witnesses can see it. It can be brought to Beis Din, it can be brought to court. The person's fist, the offender, comes with his fist to court, and thereby be subject to evaluation. Can this kind of fist, part of this kind of person, commit the damage, perform the damage that actually took place? Afkol shemosu li'edo li'edim. So to in any case that is going to be prosecuted, it would have to have that characteristic. Prat to the exclusion of l'shiyotzisa mitachas yad ho'edim, where even though witnesses may have seen take for example the stone that we used to attack, the witnesses saw it, but it got lost from that point. It wasn't brought to court, and in a case like that, so there would be no continued judicial proceeding because it couldn't have undergone the ADAW, the court evaluation. So just like the fist has that characteristic that it's subject to court evaluation because the offender is going to come to court with his fist, so too any other utensil that was used would have to be subject to the same circumstances. Amar lo Rabbi Akiva, v'chi b'fnei beis din hiko, shiyodim kama hiko, v'alma hiko. The attack take place in front of the court, that the court would know how many times the victim was hit and on what part of the body he sustained the blow. Imal shoko o tzipor nafsho, was the blow made to his foot or to his sternum. V'yoid harei shedochaf es chaveru meirosh hagag o meirosh habiru meis. Imagine where the victim was thrown off a roof, a rooftop, or thrown out of from the top of a house, and he died. Based in Hilchim Eitzel Bira, does the court go to the Bira, to the house? Oh, Bira Hileches Eitzel Basin, or do they bring the house to the court? I don't think we're talking about a mobile home, but can you imagine them building a mock-up model of the house in which the offense took place? Of course not. Viodim nofla. And furthermore, imagine the house in which the offense took place fell down in the meantime. Chayzer bona. Is there an obligation to reconstruct that house? So, with all of these questions, you can see that the court isn't going to be a witness or present to the actual events. So, if that be the case, what, according to Rabbi Kiva, are we to learn from Egrof, from the fist featured in the Pasuk? Eloma Egrof Miyuchad, it has the unique feature, Shehu Mosru Li'edim. It is seen by the witnesses who saw the attack, they saw the fist. Afkol Shehu Mosru Li'edim. So too, any other example would have to be something that was witnessed by the Edim, by the witnesses. Prat to the exclusion of a case where an attack took place with a stone, for example, and the witnesses never saw it. It was lost immediately without the witnesses seeing the actual stone. That kind of case would not be prosecuted. Kotonimias, we do see, however, in this presentation, Amar lo Rebbe Kiva, v'chi b'fnei beis din hiko, shiyodin kama hiko. Did the attack take place in front of beis din, that they know how many times the victim was hit? Now, we can infer from that, ha hiko b'fneihem, had the attack taken place in front of the court, eid na'aseh dayan, then they as witnesses would be able to serve as the judges. So, how can we have explained earlier that Rabbi Kiva is of the opinion that ein eid na'aseh dayan, when you see here eid na'aseh dayan? The Gemara says, no, you don't see that from over here. L'dvarav de Rabbi Shimon Timni Komar. Rabbi Kiva's remarks here were simply his remarks to argue, to counter Shimon HaTimni, v'lei lo svira lei, but that is not an indication that Rabbi Kiva himself holds from what we are implying. What Rabbi Kiva is simply trying to accomplish over here was to say that you don't need to have the evidence or the details of how the attack took place to be subject to the court's evaluation. In other words, to have been subject to the court's awareness. It's sufficient that the edim, that the witnesses can offer testimony based on what they saw without the court actually having seen it. But as far as Rabbi Kiva himself is concerned, we're not implying that if the court had seen it, they would be able to serve as the witnesses. Tanu Rabbanan, Shor Tam Shehemis Vehizik. Donin Oisoi Dine Nefoshis Vein Donin Oisoi Dine Mominus. A Shor Tam, we've seen so many times already in our Masechta, an ox that has not demonstrated its proclivity toward goring. So we'll call it the docile animal. And this Shor Tam killed a person and then inflicted injury. Donen oisei dine nefoshes ve'ein donen oisei dine mominus. The animal is subject to being judged in capital terms, which would lead to its being stoned, and the monetary aspect, or the damage that was inflicted that results in monetary obligations, that is not, it's not subject to that judgment. The short tam, as many of you might recall, makes its payments migufa, from its own, literally from its own body, meaning the payment is taken from the animal itself. In other words, the animal, in order to compensate the victim, we will sell the animal and use that money to compensate the victim. If the value, or I should say the chatzi nezek, the half value of the victim, happens to be worth, half value of the value of the injury is worth more than the animal, that's it. He's not going to, the victim will not get any more than the value of the animal. That is called that it's mishtali migufo. The payment is made from the animal itself. So if the animal, the short tam, killed, it first killed and then committed the, then inflicted the damage, it's held accountable for the capital offense. And there is no other source of payment. Once the animal is sentenced to death, you can't pay, you can't use its body, you can't sell it. Once it's sentenced to death, it becomes permitted to even benefit from it. It's also bano, you cannot benefit from it. Muad shehemis vehizik, a shor hamuad, an animal that's already demonstrated its goring capacity three times, and it killed and inflicted injury on a on another party. Donen oisei dine mominus, we will first judge it for the financial loss that it inflicted. V'chayzrin v'donen oisei dine nefoshes, and then we will prosecute the animal in so far as the capital offense. The Rashi points out that when we do judge it for the capital offense, it's true, we'll stone the animal, but the payment for the damages is made from minu aliyah, means from the offenders, from the owner's property holdings, from his general properties. It's not a payment that's limited to the animal. Kodmu v'donu dine nefoshes, if they prosecuted the animal in so far as the capital offense for the killing that it performed, ein chayzrin v'danan oisei dine mominus. We do not then continue to prosecute it on the financial level. The Gemara asks, v'chi kadmu v'danu dine nefoshes mayhave. In the case of the shor hamuad, even if they judged it first for the capital offense, so what? Lehader v'lidaine nami mominus. Judge it for the mominus aspect, for the injury that it inflicted on the other party. Omar Rava Ashkachtinu Lurabona de Beirav the Yasvi Vukamri. Rava points out that he met up with the rabbis of the yeshiva, and they offered their explanation for this source. You notice we squiggle underline the Yasvi Vukamri. Whenever you see this structure of a rabbi meeting up with the other rabbis, who were then reported as saying such and such, almost inevitably there will be the response to what they said. And you can see on the third line from the top of Daf Tzadi Aleph, Omer Aleph Amino Loho Ano, which we also squiggle underline, and where Rava says, and then I said back to them. You'll notice that we're using a geometric shape to highlight the two approaches. The first approach is to say that the source we just read is in accordance with Rav Shimon HaTimni. And on the top of the next Omid, you'll see Rava's approach saying that it's not limited to Rav Shimon HaTimni, it could be even according to Rabbi Akiva. So now the Gemara. So Rava tells us, I found the Rabbanan de Meirav, the Yasi Vakramri, Ha Mani, Rabbi Shimon HaTimni Hi. This source is in accordance with Rav Shimon HaTimni, that the Omar that said, Ma Egroif Miuchad Shemosur Li Eida Uli Eidim. We saw this above, where Rav Shimon HaTimni said that we learned from the Pasuk that featured the fist and the stone. Just like the fist is something that the court will see, so too the stone is something that the court must see. Now we continue at the top of the Tzadi Aleph, Alma. What we see from Rav Shimon HaTimni is Bo'inon Umdina de Beidina. We need the court to be able to evaluate, even for matters of damage. The Pasuk, Rashi points this out, the Pasuk that we cited is a Pasuk that was not of a capital nature. It said that where the victim does not die. So you're left with simply a financial issue. Rak shifto yitain v'rapo yirapeh. It said in the pasuk that you pay simply for the unemployment and for the health, for the medical expenses. It's an issue of financial compensation. So that Shimon HaTimni holds that for matters that are of a merely financial nature, you need the court to be participatory in the evaluation. V'ha, we continue in the Gemara, V'ha, Kevon de Gomar Dino Lekatla, where it was judged first, the Shor HaMuad was judged first for the capital offense for its having killed a person. When the Gemar Din, the verdict is in for it, the animal, to be sentenced to death. Lo mashinon le lo umdina meidina, v'lo maninon le dine. We don't delay the animal around for a court evaluation for the financial loss that it caused. We don't maninon le dine is to delay the execution of justice. We don't do that. When you have a verdict in regarding capital offense, we're supposed to carry out the verdict, the capital punishment, immediately. And therefore, if it was judged, the Shor HaMuad was judged first for the murder, for the killing that it committed, that's it. There's no time for leaving it around for the evaluation required for the financial loss. And that approach is the approach of Shimon HaTimni. So that's what Rava heard them explaining, how they explained the source that said once it's judged, once the Shor HaMuad is judged for the Dine Nefashos, we don't continue the judgment for Dine Momenus, because that would entail a delay in the execution of the animal in order to carry out the Umdina de Beidina, the evaluation by the court. Vamino Leho Ano Afilu Temo Rabbi Akiva. Rava says to his colleagues, says, you know, the source that said once it's judged for Dine Nefashos, you don't turn around and continue the judgment for the Dine Momenus, this is also something that could conform to Rabbi Akiva. Hocha b'mai askinon. In the source where, I should say, according to Rabbi Akiva, who doesn't hold that you need to have Umdina de Beidina, Hocha b'mai askinon. In this brisa, what are we dealing with? Kagoin sheborach, the owner ran away, and we have a rule that we don't impose judgment of loss, chova, ein chovin l'adam ela b'fanav. We can't impose a sentence of loss on an individual unless he's present. So that it's the issue here isn't a function of court evaluation. The issue is that once they judged it for capital offense, the animal, the owner ran away. You can't indict him. You can't find him guilty for the financial loss that his animal caused. Well, Borach, if you're talking about a case where the owner ran away, ki lo donuhu dine nefashas echi dainina le dine momenus below bailim. And when you look back at the source, we broke it down into Roman numerals 1 and 2. If you go back to the Roman numeral number 1 situation, it said we will judge that animal who killed and caused loss, a financial loss. We judge it first, dine momenus, and then dine nefashas. But 1 second, if you're saying that the source is talking about a case where the owner ran away, how is it then that if they at that point if they hadn't judged the dine nefashis, how can they judge the dine momentus, the money aspect to begin with? After all, we said there's a rule that ein chovin lo l'adam ela b'fonav. The Gemara answers, the kabil sa'adi uborach. The court had accepted witnesses. There had been testimony already concerning the gorings. Sof sof mehecho mishtalem, but even so, from where will the payment be made? The owner ran away, so from where will you make the payment? A detail that Rashi adds to this discussion is that the owner doesn't have other properties. He doesn't have any land. The only option would have been maybe a cash payment, but the owner ran away. So from where are you going to extract payment? The Gemara answers, miridya, from the animal itself and its plowing. The animal can be used to plow, so the court will rent out the animal for a short amount of time, for a certain amount of time, and the income that it produces from its plowing will then be used to pay the victim of the goring, the dine momenus. The Gemara asks, well, I hachi tam nedaine dine momenus beresha v'nishtaleim meridya v'hodar nedaine dine nefoshes. Why then, in the case of the short tam, the first part of the source, the docile type animal, why there could you not judge it first for the dine momenus, have payment made from its plowing, and then judge it dine nefashis? In the source, it said that the short tam that killed someone and committed an injury. You judge it only the dine nefashis. There's no point in judging it for the dine momenus, because once the animal is sentenced to death, payment for a short time is migufo, and there's no point in having it judged for financial purposes. Here we have a possibility. Let it be used for plowing. That's the animal itself. And pay for the damage it caused, and then judge it for its capital offense, and then put it to death. Omar Rav Mori Brei Rav Kahana. Zoi Semeris. The fact that the source doesn't say that, this shows us Ritya. The plowing done by the animal and the resultant income, ridya, the plowing, aliyah demorahu, that's not referred to as a payment from the animal itself. That's referred to, it's categorized as the general assets of the owner. It's income that's produced, albeit from the animal itself, but those assets are not considered the gufo of the animal. And hence, when you're dealing with a short tam, payments that are made in the case of short tam are only migufo. And since the short Tom had committed a murder, and it's going to be sentenced to death, there is no point in judging it for the Dine Momenus. There's no source of payment that the owner would be required to make in the case of a short Tom that had killed. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.